believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. In 2004, he was ordained a Legionnaires of Christ priest. The Legionnaires, founded in 1941, is dedicated to advancing the church's mission throughout the world. And since 2023, he's been leading the Regnum Christi Detroit Healing Ministry. The host of Give 'Em Heaven, his name, Father Jason Brooks. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And with Father Jason Brooks, since 2023, he's been leading the Regnum Christi Detroit Healing Ministry. We all need healing. Amen. Father, would you lead us in a healing prayer?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jack. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, we gather here in your name, and we make an act of faith that you are with us, because you said that when two or three gather in your name, there you are in their midst in a special way. And we believe, Jesus, that what you said is true, that you are faithful to your promises, and that you want to bless us, and that you want to heal us. And so we open our hearts and our minds and our bodies to you and to your grace and mercy today to receive that blessing, your truth, your goodness, and your beauty. In short, your love. And so we invite the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts today, to enlighten our minds, to heal our bodies, and to make us one with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Let's go back to Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Sure. Well, we grew up Catholic. I'm one of two kids. I'm the oldest, and I have a younger sister. We never went to Catholic schools, which is kind of a fun fact. People find that interesting that, you know, a priest didn't grow up going to Catholic school. But I did have some great priests at our parish who were very influential in my life, for sure. I'm sure they prayed for me a lot. And very healthy childhood, a lot of friends in the neighborhood, played all kinds of different sports just in the neighborhood. But eventually, I did take a special liking to football and played on the varsity football team at our local public high school. And my high school football coach was a Michigander. Coach John Richmond, he was a World War II vet, so I had him at the end of his career, and he really inspired me to pursue becoming a teacher and a coach myself. And so I went off to Ripon College, about 80 miles north of Milwaukee, played Division III college football there, and it was my sophomore year at Ripon when I first felt called to the priesthood. I was in my dorm room one night, just thinking about my plans to teach, to coach, get married, have a family. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, if I were a priest, then it would be my duty to teach the truth and help kids all the time. Well, maybe I should be a priest. And my initial reaction was, wow, who said that? And the Holy Spirit just reminded me and enlightened me. Well, that was God. That was God's voice, so to speak, in my head, in my heart, inviting me to be a priest. And I'm not worthy to be a priest, but who is? And so I got over that. I got over myself and eventually talked to different priests about it, kept praying about it. I went to World Youth Day 1993 when John Paul II came to Denver, Colorado, and that really inspired me. And I think it solidified my calling, if you will. I ended up going back to Ripon for my junior year because I felt called to be a missionary. And when I was, it was the Christmas break of my junior year, when I first learned about the Legionaries of Christ. And from there, it was pretty simple. I ended up joining the Legion that summer of 1994 after my junior year. And then I was ordained 10 years later, 2004, in the year of the Eucharist.
All right, so you played defensive end for Division III.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of NIL money you got in the day, but...
Zero.
So you're a cheesehead.
I am a cheesehead. Yeah, and you'll have to forgive me.
Back in the 90s, there was a defensive end. They call him the Minister of the Defense.
Yes.
Maybe the greatest defensive end of all time.
I think so.
Reggie White. What's the biggest thing he taught you, Father?
I think he inspired me because he was just so outspoken about his faith. But I think, too, his play spoke for itself. But I think his teammates really respected him because he genuinely cared about them. And not just as players, but as men, as brothers in Christ. And I've heard neat stories from former Packers about how Reggie would reach out to them and pray for them and encourage them when they might be feeling down or depressed. And so I think his stance, his public stance about his faith was so inspiring.
You've served in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You've served in Atlanta. Now you're in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the light and left the cheeseheads?
Well, I'm still a cheesehead at heart, I have to say. I love the Packers, but I do love the Lions and Dan Campbell and what they're doing here. I certainly appreciate their brand of football and the way they approach it.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks, who was ordained a Legionnaires of Christ priest in 2004. When we come back, we'll ask him why the Legionnaires of Christ.
Okay.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. We're with Father Jason Brooks. In 2004, he was ordained a Legionnaires of Christ priest. The Legionnaires were formed in January of 1941, 85 years ago. Father, why the Legionaries of Christ?
That's a great question. So when I first heard about the Legion, it was in a Catholic bookstore in Milwaukee, and this couple that owned and operated the store were asking me about my life and what I was up to, and I said, well, I think God's calling me to be a priest. I feel called to be a missionary. I'm just really not sure where to go. And Mary Lou was her name. She said to me, well, have you ever heard of the Legionaries of Christ? And I said, no, I haven't. And she said, well, I think I have something for you. So sure enough, she went to her office. She came back, had a few different brochures on the Legion. And one of them was a little bullet point history. And one of the first bullet points, naturally, was the Legion of Christ was founded on January 3rd, 1941. Well, that's my birthday, January 3rd. It's my birthday. And I can remember having the conversation with my mom when I was a boy. Mom, why was I born on January 3rd? What's so special about January 3rd? And she said, well, you were due on Christmas, but you were late. And then I'm thinking to myself, January 1st, Mother of God, but Rose Bowl and, right, big football day. I said, oh, I missed that. So January 3rd, what's so special about January 3rd? So the Holy Spirit planted that question in my heart as a boy. And then when I learned about the history of the Legion, it just clicked. And I took it as a sign immediately.
The Legionnaires have a love for Christ,
mm-hmm.
a love for souls, and a love for Mary.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Catholic people had great devotion to the Blessed Virgin. Non-Catholic Christians, much less so.
Mm-hmm.
Why this great devotion to the Blessed Virgin?
Great question. Well, in general, I like to say that when Jesus first came to the earth, he chose to do it through Mary. He didn't have to do that. Jesus could have come down as a fully grown man, but he chose not to. He chose Mary as an instrument, you could say, to be his mother. So the very fact that Jesus chose her says something, and that she played such an important role, an intimate role in raising him, obviously, but also in really mothering the early church. If you think about it, when Jesus was hanging from the cross, he turned to Mary, and he said, "Woman, behold your son," speaking of John the Evangelist there. But in some sense, John was standing there in our place, representing the whole church. And then he turned to John and said, "Behold your mother." And so again, Jesus was really speaking to all of us that Mary is also our mother in the order of grace, you could say. And so just as Jesus came into the world the first time through Mary, he wants to continue to bless the world through her. And especially for me as a priest, I'm not married. So Mary is the woman of my life in a certain sense. She knows what I need as a man and how she can help shape my heart as a priest to be like her sons.
The Legionnaires of Christ have a bunch of apostolates.
Yes.
Could you highlight one or two?
Sure. I would say schools are one of our, and education are one of our main apostolates here in the United States. We have a number of Catholic schools that we run. We typically don't take parishes. We have some, but we often do start schools. And on top of that, I would say retreat work and spiritual direction. And that's really where the healing ministry fit in as like the tip of the spear, you might say. The tip of the spear, reaching out to people, inviting people to come and encounter Christ. So we really do emphasize the ongoing formation of Catholics to prepare them to be apostles themselves.
All right. A lot of priests take the vow, all priests take the vow of chastity and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Some, along with nuns, take poverty, mm-hmm. chastity, and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Legionnaires of Christ, poverty, chastity, obedience, and one more, humility.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, so we try to serve in a selfless way without seeking positions of authority for ourselves or anybody else. It helps avoid politics. I mean, every human institution has politics, but you can certainly minimize that when you have this attitude of just serving wherever you're asked to go without trying to climb the ladder, so to speak.
Speaking of wherever you're asked to go,
mm-hmm.
from 2003 to 2011, you served in my hometown, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that chapter.
Well, it was when I was first ordained, so I'll never forget my time there, my first years of priesthood. I was a part of a great community there. We had a couple of different schools. I was asked to start the Lumen Institute chapter in mm-hmm. Chicago. It was an outreach to businessmen in particular, and women. So I was able to meet some great business leaders in Chicago. I met the future president of the Cubs, Tom Ricketts. He was a part of our group, so that was fun. He would host us once he took ownership of the Cubs with his family, and we'd get to sit in his seats. And so it was great to just get to know the city and some of the leaders there.
All right, then you had to learn to talk different from 2011 to 2016, y'all, et cetera, in Atlanta, Georgia.
For sure. Yeah, in Atlanta, I was chaplain at Holy Spirit Prep when I first arrived, and we were in a football league called Glory for Christ. It was a small Christian football league because we had a very small high school at Holy Spirit Prep, but I got to be an assistant coach. And for the championship game, our head coach had to go to his sister's wedding in Boston, so he asked me to be the head coach for the championship game. So my dream of being a football coach was fulfilled, and we won the championship that night. It was a great time with the boys there. And then I landed at our parish that we run in the northern suburbs of Atlanta, Cumming, Georgia. It's St. Brendan the Navigator.
So that's the biggest ring I've ever seen, championship ring. That's how you got that championship ring?
11-11-11. That was the night of the championship game, November 11th, 2011. So we did have rings made. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Then in 2017, you came to Detroit, Motown.
Yes.
Why?
Well, we do get transferred from time to time, and there was an opportunity for me to come here to replace somebody that had been transferred to Rome. And it seemed to be a good fit. I had even served here a little bit as a seminarian before being ordained. So landed here, soon met Encounter Ministries out of Brighton, Michigan, and I would attend their annual conference. Eventually, in 2021, I enrolled in their Encounter School of Ministry, a two-year program. Some of my friends had already gone through it. I finally went through it, and that is ultimately what led to the formation of our Regnum Christi Detroit Healing Ministry.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. If you want to learn more, www.rcdetroit.org/ministries/healing. All right, since 2020, you've been posting your homilies, etc., conferences, etc., on a podcast entitled Give 'em Heaven.
Give 'em Heaven. Well, obviously we have the expression give 'em hell, but I said, well, let's give 'em heaven, because that's really what we're called to do as Christians. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. And so I just like to remind people, give 'em heaven. Go out there, spread the good news, be light, be love. And with the Holy Spirit, you just never know how the Lord's going to work through you to impact somebody, to heal somebody, to encourage somebody. So I like give 'em heaven.
Tomorrow, we celebrate Pentecost. Mm. It's the one day of the year that we highlight the third person of the Trinity,
yes,
the Holy Spirit. When we come back, we're going to ask him, why only one day a year do we focus on the Holy Spirit? And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Father Jason Brooks. If you want to learn more, rcdetroit.org/ministries/healing. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Tell us about the Holy Spirit.
Well, Pentecost is the birthday of the church, we say. Believe it or not, it's the first day that Peter and the band of apostles went out and proclaimed the gospel on their own. Jesus had already ascended into heaven 9 days prior, and he gave them instructions to go back to the upper room in Jerusalem and to pray for this power, for the promise of the Father, because he said that the mission of the church, to build the church, to spread the gospel, it's going to be up to you. I've trained you, I've equipped you, and now it's your turn to go out and to do what I did, and to do even greater works than I did, as he mentioned in, well, as it's recorded in John chapter 14, verse 12. So Pentecost, the Spirit falls on the apostles. And I like to remind people, they had already received the Holy Spirit. They had been baptized. They were ordained priests. They received the Eucharist. But now they're getting charisms, gifts. Charis is Greek for gift. So when we talk about charisms, we're talking about gifts. And these gifts are for evangelization. These charismatic gifts are for evangelization. The gifts that we receive at baptism and Eucharist, those are for us, to help us grow in friendship with God. But these charismatic gifts that we talk about from Pentecost, they're for spreading the good news and sharing it. And that's exactly what they did. And they continued to do it. They healed themselves. They cast out demons themselves. And it was these signs and wonders, these miracles, these healings that they performed through the power of the Holy Spirit that led to faith in Jesus. They would proclaim the gospel, and then they would demonstrate the presence of God and the power of God through these signs and wonders. And that's ultimately what would lead to faith in Jesus.
Many of us get baptized very early in our life. But now there's a movement to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Was there something I didn't get?
Good question. So, no. However, there's always more, as we like to say. There's always more of this power. We can always ask for more gifts. We can pray that the gifts that we have become even stronger, more influential. And I like to highlight in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 is where we read about the Pentecost event. But then just a couple of chapters later, we read about Peter and John going back to their community after having been arrested for not healing someone, but proclaiming and teaching that name of Jesus. They go back to the community, they report what had happened, and they gather together and they pray again and they ask for more. And it says there that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and the place where they were gathered shook. So I like to say the bar had been raised. There was now persecution. There was direct opposition to what they were trying to do, to what Jesus had asked them, commanded them to do. So they needed more courage, more boldness, and that's why they were asking for more. So no, you haven't missed out on anything, but I think we can always ask for more graces, more of the Holy Spirit to fan into flame what we've already received and to receive more.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. Since 2023, he's been leading the Regnum Christi Detroit Healing Ministry. Please.
Yes. So as I mentioned, I went to the Encounter School of Ministry out of Brighton, Michigan, and some of my friends attended as well, graduated with me. And so we formed this group. And each week now, we gather together for various events. It could be adoration, and after the adoration and praise and worship, we offer prayer teams. So a person can come and ask for physical healing, can ask for a prophetic word of encouragement, can ask for more of the Holy Spirit. They can even sit in proxy for a friend or a loved one that needs healing. So we do monthly events as well, where we gather a number of prayer teams together at a parish, have adoration, Eucharistic procession, and then offer these prayer teams to pray for people. We do inner healing sessions, which are private, if a person wants more of an emotional or spiritual type of healing. So we're just putting ourselves out there. We're inviting people to come to these events to experience Christ and to also experience the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, through these prophetic words, these healings. And so we're just trying to increase people's faith and offer them these opportunities to encounter God's love.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. To learn more, www.rcdetroit.org/ministries/healing. Years ago, there was an iconic surgeon in town, Dr. Robert Poole. And he once told me, Jack, we cut, God heals. And then he talked about the greatest physician of all time, the Jewish carpenter.
For sure. At the end of the day, it is that encounter with God's love that heals. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is love. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is love. It's not what they do, it's who they are. And so as we encounter God through his word, through the sacraments, through this healing ministry, we are healed. I think it's safe to say that when we sin, we experience a kind of disintegration. And when we experience God's love and mercy, we experience a kind of integration, a healing. There's a good definition I like that someone shared recently. It's healing could be understood as an ongoing encounter with God's love and truth that brings us into wholeness and communion with God and with each other and with ourselves. And so Jesus is all about bringing us into communion with his Father through the Holy Spirit, and he brings us into communion with each other.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. So all day you just minister to people regarding healing. Give us two stories, Father.
Okay, my latest, greatest story is I was out for dinner the other night to this family's home.
True stories now.
It's a true story,
no,
I'm telling you.
Story, so.
No, I pray, Lord, blow my mind and break my heart for what breaks yours. That's one of my favorite prayers. And he blew my mind the other night. So at the family's house for dinner, their daughter-in-law was there, and she was concerned about her father, who was having some serious heart issues. His widow-maker artery was severely blocked. They already knew that. He was going to be going in for another consultation before any kind of intervention. So we prayed over his daughter, Gabby, the daughter-in-law of the family who was hosting me. And I said, Gabby, we're going to pray over you as a proxy for your dad. So we did that. Monday morning comes around. He sees his cardiologist. They have the test, whatever it was, and the cardiologist gets the results. He says, "Sir, I've been a cardiologist for 30 years. I've never seen this. Your heart grew its own bypass, and it's working." He said, "You have no need of medical intervention. You're good to go." How about that? And then this is another dramatic story from, about a year and a half ago now. So Travis, a gentleman here in the Detroit area, works for Ford, and he was in a car wreck. Someone T-boned him, ran a red light, T-boned him. And the base of his spine was almost at a 90-degree angle. So severe curvature, damage from the accident. It was starting to be debilitating, the pain, etc. His wife was involved with Encounter, and there was a healing service. I didn't know them, but we had some mutual friends who invited me to come and pray for Travis. And so when I arrived, his wife was there already praying for him. Some other friends were there. And then they just turned to me and said, "Father, please, why don't you lead us in a prayer for Travis?" And so I just got this inspiration. In the name of Jesus, spine align. And we all heard a crack, a pop. And I turned around, I was looking at everybody. "Did you all hear that?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Travis, how do you feel?" He said, I feel like there was some significant movement there." I said, "Stand up, test it out." He stands up, he bends down to touch his toes, which he was able to do. And we heard the pop. It's like his spine was just popping into place. Pop, 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 pop. He was fine, pain-free. He goes for his checkup, gets the MRI. Spine is straight as an arrow. And then he said the icing on the cake was going to Scotland to play at the King's Course. Is that St. Andrews?
Yes.
Yeah, he got to go, and he walked the 6 miles.
It's like Lambeau Field.
Yes, you know? Yes, right? So another beautiful story about someone getting healed on the spot.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. If you've been around him, he's got unbelievable number of stories of miracles. But when we come back, we're going to ask him about when the healing doesn't occur. Mm. And I'm Jack Grissel, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
"My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan."
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
"Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up."
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Grissel. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. Since 2004, he's been a Legionnaires of Christ priest. And since 2023, he's been leading the Regnum Christi Detroit Healing Ministry. If you want to learn more, www.rcdetroit.com. www.jackbrooks.org/ministries/healing. Okay, Father.
So what happens when healing doesn't happen? Well, let me preface this answer with a quote from the late, great Pope Benedict XVI, who said in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, "Healing is an essential dimension of the apostolic mission and of Christianity. When understood at a sufficiently deep level, this healing expresses the entire content of redemption." So that's quite a statement coming from Pope Benedict, who will probably be a doctor of the church someday. And let me just echo that with number 1503 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It says, "Christ's compassion toward the sick and his many healings of every kind of infirmity are a resplendent sign that God has visited his people and that the kingdom of God is close at hand. Jesus has the power not only to heal, but also to forgive sins. He has come to heal the whole man, soul, and body. He is the physician the sick have need of." So it's true. Sometimes we're asking for a particular kind of healing. However, the Lord might have other plans in mind. In his infinite wisdom, he might know that although we're battling cancer, or although we might have diabetes or some other illness going on, that the healing of our heart is necessary, and that he wants to bring about a softening of the heart and a renewal of the mind. And so we're convinced more than ever that the mind, the heart, and the body are all connected. And so in our healing ministry, when the physical healing that somebody might be looking for doesn't happen, we try to encourage them to keep asking, but to also seek other kinds of healing that they may have need of, that perhaps they're not aware of, or that this particular illness has awakened in them a search for health and healing, a search for God. You know, my own father battled cancer for the first time when he was 37 years old. And Dad readily admitted, "I learned to pray when I was 37. And he grew closer to God. When I first told him that I was thinking about the priesthood, he was all about it. He was very supportive. And it's not that he became a religious fanatic, but he definitely grew in friendship with God. And I think sometimes the Lord allows certain things to happen so that we grow closer to him and can grow closer to each other.
If there's a listener that says, "You seem like a nice fella. Father, I'm a doubting Thomas. This is too much hocus pocus for me."
Well, I have to admit, I never prayed with any kind of expectation myself to see healing until just recently. So I've been a priest 21 years, and it's really only recently when I started hanging out with people who had more faith than I did and who saw these miracles in their own lives. And so seeing is believing. And so if there is a doubting Thomas out there, I would encourage them to come and attend one of our healing services, to just check us out on social media, or to look up Encounter Ministries online, our own healing ministry. There's plenty of stories out there today that people are telling of how their stage 4 cancer is gone, broken bones are healed. It's just amazing what God can do.
We're talking to Father Jason Brooks. Podcast entitled "Give 'Em Heaven." Mother Teresa would come to America. And one time she was here and she said, "As I go through America, I see a disease that's spreading, it's rampant everywhere." Mm. "And the disease is called loneliness." Mm-hmm. Father, depression, mm-hmm. suicide. So many of our young people.
Yes.
There's so much loneliness. Can this help loneliness too?
It can. I think we offer our events to bring people together and experience God together. I think that's the logic and the wisdom of going to church on Sundays, is and to be a part of a community that helps defeat loneliness too. And certainly to experience the fact that we, as a body of Christ, we're temples of the Holy Spirit, that God is with us, and we help people to become aware of that reality and to experience that reality for themselves, that God is with us, he is for us, and you're never alone. That's the truth. We're never alone.
I've been reading a lot and hearing a lot recently about a massive spiritual revival mm-hmm. amongst our young people, Gen Z's millennials. Do you see that?
I do. In fact, I just had an amazing conversation with a young lady. She's 24 years old. She went on a pilgrimage with me last fall to Rome and Medjugorje. And she admitted to me, Father, for the first time in my life, I learned and I experienced what it is to pray with the heart. And now she's on fire. Now she can't get enough. And I think she and I are going to start a podcast together, in fact. So I do see it. I see people searching because, let's face it, this generation has had everything at their fingertips, literally, and they're still searching. They're still wondering, well, if I have access to anything and everything I want, why am I still feeling anxious or worried? And it's because ultimately we're made for God. And our, as St. Augustine said, Lord, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you.
As our time winds down, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Thank you. Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill my heart with your gifts. Let my love be true and my charity be generous. Help me in all my needs and grant me knowledge to do what is right. Advise me in my doubts, strengthen me in my weakness, protect me when I am tempted, and console me when I am afraid. Graciously hear me, O Holy Spirit, and pour your light into my heart, mind, and soul. Help me to live a holy life and grow in goodness and grace. Amen.
And a little prayer for Pentecost.
Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to come. We have this sense of desperation for meaning, for purpose, for healing. But we also have an expectation that you want to come and that you do heal. So let that be an invitation to you, O Holy Spirit, to come and renew the face of the earth. Amen.
And Holy Spirit, be with Father Jason Brooks. Keep up this great ministry. We commend you.
Thanks, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God,
anything is possible.
Spoken. Believe in yourself.